Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Flogger Presents with your host, Andrew Walmsley. Welcome to the latest episode with your host Flogger as always, and today I have another very special guest, which is Paul McKay from Analog Wonderland. Hello, Paul.
Hello, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me on here.
No, I appreciate you coming back to me, and it's great to get someone about film. And I think a lot of people started to know that I do a little bit with film now. Which we'll talk about, and I think it's nice to sort of reintroduce people to film.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think a lot of people have given up, forgot about, and then there's people like me, so I'm in my 40s, that are coming to film for the very first time.
So did you never shoot film sort of 20, 25 years ago?
I didn't do any photography till I hit 40.
Nice.
I literally lived all my life as the most unartistic person you've ever met. I just literally listened to other people, did things like in IT and that, but I never did anything productive.
And then, actually, I heard about this on last week's episode. You talked about it being a midlife crisis, and I was thinking, that's quite a mild midlife crisis.
Well, yeah, I had another one at 35 where I bought an MGB.
Oh, good. Okay, so you've had a proper one as well. Good.
Yeah, so this is probably, it'll probably cost me more in the long run, this, though, to be honest.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You'll enjoy it.
It's an expensive hobby. So one of the main things, obviously, is you sell film. So do you want to just introduce you and your company and give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, of course. As I say, first of all, thanks so much for having us on. We've done a couple of podcasts, but predominantly film photography, and I know that you cover a whole host of different subjects around photography in general. So it's lovely to talk to you, and hopefully some of the audience haven't heard me blather on before. So I'm Paul McKay. I work on Analog Wonderland. So I started with a few other people 3 months ago now. Three and a bit months ago in May, and we are a online shop based in the UK but shipping across UK, Europe. So we stock over 180 stocks now, and we began really with the couple of observations. One is actually what you've already mentioned, the fact that a lot of people sort of, especially 10 years ago, was really the low point for film photography, where a lot of people who loved photography had switched over to digital for convenience and for everything that we know about there. And a lot of youngsters coming up didn't even know that film photography necessarily was even a thing. Now what we're seeing is two things. One is people coming back to film having had a great experience with digital, and generally they shoot both sort of not simultaneously necessarily, but they shoot digital and film now, and different projects or different days they use different tools, and that's wonderful. And the second thing is we see is a load of we'll call them, you know, the next generation, the people who are now 15, 18, 22, who never remember film because their parents, you know, they'd grown up before their parents, after their parents had switched to digital. And they're discovering film photography the very first time, and whether that's through Lomography, the amazing shops they have, or they've found a random camera in a thrift shop or a charity shop, or, you know, they've inherited a grandparents or a parents' old camera, and they've picked them up and they've realised these things are beautiful, and they're very different experience to shooting with an iPhone or a DSLR, and they're really enjoying it. And then what we found, though, was with both these groups of people, a couple of things have happened in the last 20 years. As film photography really hit a dip and a really tough point, a lot of the suppliers went bankrupt and either didn't survive or reformed as smaller incarnations. That's Kodak became Kodak Alaris. Fuji diverged developed a lot of their film stocks and really pared back and branched out elsewhere. Ilford went bankrupt, was bought out, is now running on a much smaller scale, all this kind of thing. But they've now started to come back, and they're all now sort of right-scaled for the new industry, and they're in really healthy shape. Secondly, the start of digital technology beyond just the pure camera has allowed a lot of people, especially in Europe, interestingly, a lot of people to start their own small-scale film manufacturers. And that's where you see the brands like Double or Revelog or Kono or Yodica or Washi, where people are using really interesting techniques that are either very old, like Washi, where the guy who heads up Washi basically hand coats his own film emulsions onto Japanese paper, which is just incredible. So people like Yodica and Double, who use digital technology to pre-expose film to produce these amazing effects. So you've got these wonderful small suppliers. You've got the big suppliers now sort of getting back on their feet and starting to innovate again. You know, you see the return of the back from the grave. But what was really missing, and what was frustrating for the photographer, was that it was very hard to get hold of these films. So your options were sort of Amazon, which was okay. And, you know, Amazon sold a lot of film when no one else was. And we've always got to be grateful for that. But ultimately, as a company that don't care about film, they're just trying to sell products. So there's
the box
Amazon. Exactly. Or you had eBay, where the quality was, I mean, from some sellers, obviously very reputable, but you never quite knew what you were getting, and availability and price were all over the place, which in fairness was also true at Amazon. Or you're trying to go almost to the source, and you're trying to buy, well, I'll buy Washi from Washi. And all these small guys were creating their own web shops to try and help get their product out there. But then you're having to pay shipping from, well, from France for Washi, from Spain, from Austria for Revelog. And that was obviously a massive barrier to people, was to pay that shipping all the time for a couple of rolls. Even if you loved it, you'd have to save up for a special treat once a year, whatever. So we said to ourselves, well, let's try and make film photography fun and accessible for everyone, whether that's people coming back to it, whether that's people adding it to their repertoire of photography options, or whether that's people discovering it for the first time. Let's just make sure that people can get films cheaply, easily, and an amazing range. And every time I say that number, and I sort of heard a gasp from you as well, 180 films, people don't realize how healthy the supply of film still is. At the moment, it's just a retail bottleneck.
That's a shocking number.
In a good way, yes.
Yeah, it's brilliant, yeah.
And so we sort of realized that the retail, the distribution channel was the bottleneck. And actually, I've talked to Ilford and Kodak about this, and they've said exactly the same thing. You know, Ilford have started their own web shop to try and help get their products out there. But frankly, none of them want to do it, because they're in the business of making, creating, branding amazing films. They don't really want the hassle of packing it up and dealing with orders, you know, not in a bad way. They just want to focus on the production. I think that's brilliant. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, you know what? Small suppliers, big suppliers, don't worry. So that's the aim, really, is to make it easy for suppliers. And then obviously, you know, shipping from abroad, we can pull in a big parcel of film that all comes at once, and the shipping cost is spread out significantly across the films. And then people can just come to us as a one-stop shop, and whether they're stocking up on their classics like the Ilford HP5 or Kodak Portra, or they're hunting out the niche product, either the new brands or the rare sizes, you know, like we've got 110, we've got 127, we've got some APS film in stock. Then people can come to us and pick up all of it all at once, and then with easy delivery, you know, cheap shipping costs and that, then they can fill their boots, so to speak. So that's it, really. That's the background.
No, that's cool. That's really good to hear. You've done that in such a short space of time.
Well, it took a while from the idea to actually obviously launching. Because we wanted to make sure that when we went live, we had a meaningful offering for people. And we worked hard with people in advance, like Kodak, and with Double, with Revlog in particular, and also with some of the film photography websites like Japan Camera Hunter, Emulsive, and Cosmo Photo, 35mmc, these kind of guys, to create a giveaway that then started the launch. And all those things obviously take takes time, but we wanted to make sure it was right. And then hopefully when people visit the website, they can see the work that goes into it to make it really easy. And I always say, if anyone sees anything that they wish was a bit easier, then please let us know. There's contact details throughout, because, you know, we really are there to try and make it easy, fun and accessible for people. And if anyone has an idea, then please, please drop us a line. We've implemented so many of ideas that have come from the community already, just because, you know, you can't think of anything and everything, sorry. And if people have a good idea, then of course we'll do it.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I've worked with a few companies before that have put suggestions in place, and when you get an email back and say, oh, we've put this in place, you're like, wow, someone actually listened to me. That's cool.
Well, we promise we always listen. We can't always promise we'll do it. So some people have asked for things that are either very difficult or would be too expensive or just impossible. And we always say, you know, we're always reasonable. But no, of course, everything people send gets read and discussed and decided on. So absolutely.
Oh, that's cool. Well, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, so promotion-wise, your idea was work with the likes of Cosmo and places like this on set. So you think that really helped?
Of course. I mean, we go back to what we're trying to do, and we're trying to, you know, make it easy for people. So I'm hoping that when film photographers or photographers intrigued about film come on, it will really showcase the brands and the products. You know, we're not doing it to get Analog Wonderland as the brand well known. We just want it to make it easy for people to pick up the films that they love and maybe try ones that they haven't before. And that's something that's obviously interesting, hopefully, to all film photographers and everyone interested in film. So speaking and building those relationships and helping out people who run the really popular film photography websites and the blog is obviously a critical part of that, because the community, so much of the film photography community is based upon sharing and learning and teaching each other, because a lot of the experience in that 20-year dip was lost, where people either forgot maybe how to do things like color printing or some of the really, you know, like how to make your own red scale, or, you know, as well, frankly, a lot of people have died who were the real darkroom experts or the camera experts who grew up in the 50s, 60s, you know, where there was no other option but to get your hands dirty. So there's a huge focus on those websites, and they hold the biggest responsibility of just keeping that knowledge alive and spreading it to the new generation. So I've got all the time in the world for anyone who's trying to do that. And of course, yourself and all the podcasts fall into that umbrella as well. Anything that's about helping drive those links and nurturing it to make people, well, again, like yourself, rediscover it or discover it new, then it's fantastic. So how did you find film photography then?
Just wanted to try it.
So do you have friends then or family or anything who are using film?
No one I know. I didn't even know anyone really that was a photographer at the time. Yeah. And I just picked up a camera, bought some Delta, I think, and got the prints back and thought, bloody hell, I know how to use a camera. And, it just continued from there. And, you know, I had a few bad ones, and then I got frustrated and thought, I need to learn. So it came in, luckily, just at the end of the Agfa Pounds film. So luckily, I bought a load of them, and I shot, say, 15 rolls in a row, same camera, same lens, and my work just became consistent.
That's a brilliant discipline. I mean, it took me years to realise that that was the way to really learn, and again, I ended up at the same process, but after a few years of getting excited by new things constantly. And you're right, as soon as you settle down at the one setup, you do learn better, and then you can start to play with things. But that's the beauty, you know, if you give people a beautiful film camera and you give them a new roll of film and send them off, then they tend to, well, a lot of people then sort of get hooked. Actually, one of the things we're doing at the moment, if anyone heads to our website or actually seen any of our Instagram feeds at the moment, we're talking constantly about this actual theme. So we're running a Kodak competition and giveaway.
Yeah.
So alongside Kodak Alaris, there's a couple of things going on. So number one is every order across the summer holidays So I think we're about halfway through at the moment until the 3rd of September. Every order that we get where someone's ordered at least one roll of Kodak in that order, we will then throw in, with the help of Kodak Alaris, a free Kodak Color Plus 35mm. And what we're saying to people is, you know, it's totally up to you, but we would love it if you use this free roll of film that you've got to teach someone else on your summer holidays, you know, with the probable extra camera you will have lying around or can find, teach someone new, family, friends, whatever, the joys of film photography, because that's where the future industry and the future people who will make the brands and create new films and make new cameras, they'll come from the next generation. So that's what we're sort of asking people to do. And at the same time, we're running a competition, one for people who have shot film quite a bit before, but the category, you know, proficient with a theme summer holidays, has to be shot on Kodak film. But apart from that, you can be as wild as you want. And then the second category is beginners, i.e. people who started shooting this year. And our hope with this is to really encourage people of saying, look, you can pick up a film camera and with a small amount of tuition, get very good images very fast. Share them with us. We'd love to help spread the word. And at the same time, you will improve as you see other people and other beginners as well, maybe making some mistakes and also learning from those and producing some fantastic shots. So some of the photos we've had come in already are absolutely mind-blowing. People who have only picked up a camera for the first time in the last 8 months maximum. But that whole idea of the summer holidays is a great time to have a couple of cameras around, and whether you've got kids, whether it's a brother, whether it's a cousin, whether it's an uncle, whatever it is, sharing the hobby, and hopefully there'll be more people like yourself who pick up a roll of Delta, well, sorry, a roll of Kodak and a film camera and really enjoy the process.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to admit, portrait is my only, really my only colour film. So yeah, I'm lucky that I had a couple of Agfa, but portrait is like amazing stuff.
What's your favourite speed? Is that 400 or do you go with
that? Yeah, I've only ever shot 400 and I've only shot it on medium format.
For me, the 160 is stunning. I think that's probably my go-to colour film at the moment.
I need to buy, really, one roll because I'm helping if my friend's getting married and I said I'll shoot a little bit of the wedding. And I said, I'm going to shoot film because that's what, you know, that's who I am. So I really want a colour film. My first wedding I shot with a friend last year, I shot with a 13-year-old digital camera, a medium format, and a cheap 35mm.
Nice.
And the best pictures were on the medium format.
Yeah. Well, what you should do then, if you're going to have, so is it going to be inside as well as outside?
It's an inside ceremony. So it's got awkward lighting because it's got a window, like a roof window, I can't remember what you call them, above where they sort of stand, like a skylight sort of thing. So it's awful. But they will probably go outside.
I'd say you might need some Portrait 800 then at the same time for the light. But you can actually shoot that at 1600. And it still looks pretty good. And then if you want to go totally crazy, you can get some of the 3200 from Kodak, the T-Max, and either shoot it at 3200 or push that to 64. and then it gets very grainy, but it's beautiful.
That's one of my friends that I listen to a lot with film, because he's done developing printing for years. Mm. He basically just said, with medium format, don't worry about the grain. You're never going to see it. So you could just buy whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've already got the black and white for the indoor shots.
Pick up some portrait from us. And because it's Kodak, as long as you're in the next 3 weeks, then we'll throw in the free Color Plus and you can spread the message, find somebody. Do you have kids who might appreciate a Color Plus 35mm?
Oh, it'd be wonderful. I mean, now I've got my little diary up and running, I'd love to show someone else the printing side. because it is amazing.
Oh yeah, the first time you get one of your imprints, you see it appear is yeah, magical.
Yeah. So now the website's up and running. How do you provide something different to say one of your competitors? I'll not name names.
Oh, you can name names, it's fine. No, I mean the well, I've already named a couple myself actually. Amazon and eBay. You know, Amazon is will have been the biggest film supplier in the UK for the last 10 years. As I say,
Okay.
I'm very grateful that they could do that when, you know, people that, you know, Tesco Boots stopped listing films. Now that's coming down a little bit, but they'll never have a great range. So Amazon have sold another film, we're very grateful to them. But ultimately, as I say at the start, buying films from Amazon is always going to be a bit of a gamble because how can you guarantee that the film is being stored appropriately? You know,
Yeah.
not X-rayed, kept in the cool, not left in the sun, and also the availability and the expiry. You know, there's a few things that they won't necessarily treat because they treat products like products, and that's a very efficient business model, but it's not one that's going to look after film. So, you know, versus there's that care and attention. So our film is kept in fridges, protected, taken from the suppliers directly into our warehouse that's cooled and then dispatched promptly. So you know that you're getting fresh stock, unless we say it's expired, in which case you know you're buying that. Well, any fresh stock is properly fresh and looked after. And secondly, of course, the range is so important. So of course there are independent film stores out there, and we're not trying to compete with them. In the sense of, you know, we don't want people to stop going to independent, their local dark room that might sell film and stocking up. Or the photography gallery in London is just a heaven for film photographers.
Okay.
We're not saying stop going to that. Please don't, because it's more. We want more people to buy more films. We're not trying to steal the film photographers from other people. It's just a case
Yeah.
of getting more people out there. But we definitely see our range as being really important because, you know, getting together 180 different films under one roof is so important to offer people the choice. And then, of course, we price competitively. We try to either match or beat every price that we see outside of the marketplace because it's important to us as well. We know, I mean, you said at the start, it can be an expensive hobby, and we're not trying to profit from that by any means. We're trying to make a as good an offering for film photographers as we can. And then,
Yeah.
if we'll also promise you great customer service. So, you know, we have had so many emails from customers, which we've absolutely loved. Either asking questions like, you know, I'd like the look of this film, but what would you recommend me using it with? Or it says this on the website, does that mean I could use it indoors? What would you recommend? Or afterwards, sending us, you know, where if someone's had an issue that they haven't quite understood, especially if they're learning, they send it, you know, they send us sample images and say, this isn't what I expected. Is this what the film should do? And generally, it's no. But it looks like either there's something gone wrong with developing or your camera, or you know what, we're not entirely sure, but let's send you another of those films and you can run it through the same camera and test it. So, you know, it's a really interactive setting, and that's what we like to do. And of course, we're never going to be able to turn around a delivery within 12 hours, which Amazon can do in certain locations and things like that, because sadly, we do not have the multi-billion-pound warehouses to enable
Oh.
that. I know. If someone would like to donate us a warehouse, that would be wonderful. With a fully automated Prime plugin. But up until that point, it'll always be a bit more manual. But even so, we aim to get things turned around within a day. We aim to, yeah, we'll get them turned around and dispatched generally within a day or two working day. We tend to see delivery taking, we say 3 to 5 working days. In the UK, it's generally happened a bit faster than that. And if people
Yeah.
need it, particularly for a certain occasion, we'll always try our best to make sure it gets there. So we've done things like, you know, got someone some film within 24 hours who was about to go on holiday and had forgotten to stock up. We've got film sent to a hotel in America in time for somebody coming from Australia to collect it on the way to their trip
Oh
across, you know,
my God.
all these kind of things that we can do because, you know, we really do want the film photographers out there to get their products, their films, how they need them and when they want them. So it's that level of service as well that we think is it's an important part of our business, and we think people appreciate it, and we hope they do, and we'll continue to do so.
Okay, no, that's good. Because I think the customer service bit is important for online because it's been missing for many, many years.
Yeah, and this is the thing as well. I mean, I keep going back to it, but I don't mean to be, overly harsh about Amazon, but it's just classic of that thing. There's been the biggest film supplier for the last 10 years. It's a little bit upsetting because, yes, availability can be good and you can buy a lot of film and it, but and that's fine for people, especially who are very experienced and who know what they're looking for and know what prices should be and all that kind of thing. But so many people will have been fleeced without realizing, and then they're turned off film photography because they think that, portrait really should be £15 a roll or whatever that someone's put on Amazon or eBay. And they're like, well, that's too expensive. And you go, well, yeah, that is too expensive. That should never have happened. But people don't know that. So you need to provide the quality sort of product at the right price constantly. And then secondly, if people have questions, you can't phone Amazon and expect them to come back with a, you might have accidentally opened the back too soon, or that looks like you developed it a little bit too harshly,
Too right.
And that's where local photography shops and ourselves hopefully can help people. And also, as well, that any money you spend with us is going back into film photography and is going to help build that offering versus a big corporation, which for some people is important. Some people don't care and they prefer the one day delivery and the lowest possible price, and they know what that is. And that's absolutely fine. We're not trying to be every shop for every person. What we're trying to offer is we're trying to offer a sustainable way for people to pick up all the films they want in one place, films they might not have seen before, and then provide the service that if things go wrong or they want questions or follow-ups or special delivery, we can hopefully help them out.
No, that's cool. Yes, sounds exactly what everyone needs. Well, one of the other things we briefly talked about was there's articles on your website, and you've also had a gentleman write about FOMA film. So is that something you're wanting to do going forward?
Yeah, it's interesting to see. When we launched, we sort of had built in the capability for a blog, but hadn't invested any time in it because that wasn't the priority.
Yeah,
And
of
as things
course, yeah.
go on, we found that we had things that we wanted to announce. So since we launched, we've then expanded. So we launched just shipping to the UK and Europe. We then launched into North America, USA, and Canada, having had requests from people who could not get some of these European films in the US or Canada at all. So they were emailing us saying, can we set this up? So we spent time working out how to do it in a way that will guarantee them, good delivery percentages, success rates, and also affordable. And we're
Okay.
thinking, well, how do we, how do we get the news out there? And you can put a tweet out, but the tweet's gone in 20 seconds. So sort of spending a bit more time to write an article and doing it, that kind of thing. So we started off sort of with store news, if that makes sense. Then we found that actually people were really sort of engaged with a bit more content and a bit of, nicer pictures. So when we then launched Yodica, so that's a new film. It's a couple in Italy who are absolutely wonderful, and they've launched their own film. He's a film photographer or has been for years.
Okay.
She's a graphic designer, and they got together as a couple. And one of the brilliant results of their relationship has been that they've combined their skills and made a new brand of film with some pre-exposed colors that are brilliant. So they launched to market about a month ago, and they launched with us. And I said, well, rather than just doing a sort of an article that just says Yodica is now available, come buy it please, anything like that, I said, well, let's try and make it so people, let's give a bit of the story behind it and help people understand where you're coming from, what you're trying to do. And so we did an interview and we wrote that up, and we included the photos they took and posted themselves, and people loved it. So many people read. Now, obviously not everyone went on to buy, but that's not the point. It's about spreading the bit of the news and the information about what this couple are trying to do and why they love film photography so much. And again, that's helped the community, even if their films aren't for you. And if you don't like really crazy colors, then maybe if you're a black and white purist, then you definitely won't want their films. But they might be interested in hearing what they're up to and what they're doing and why they're doing it. And that's a lovely thing for people to realize that there are these people out there doing this kind of stuff. So we did that, and that had so much success that we sort of were like, okay, well, actually, let's be open to what else could happen. And so Svein, the guy who wrote the FOMA piece reached out and just said, sort of spontaneously, just gave an outpouring of love for FOMA. We're like, this is amazing. we would happily host an article for
okay.
you. And he's a photographer in Finland and obviously has a business there. And we said, look, come and write an article about why you love FOMA and show us your photos, and people might read it and look and go to your website and you know, do some business with you. But also at the same time, again, it's helping people learn. So if, I don't know whether you've ever shot FOMA before, but generally...
No, I haven't. I've got some.
You've got some. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, generally we find that it's sort of, it's one of the big, big old brands, but the one of the ones that people don't know as well as Kodak, Fuji, and Ilford. So hopefully there's people who read that article then who never knew about FOMA. Again, whether they go on to buy it or not is less relevant than the fact that people realise it's still out there, what it could offer. And then maybe they talk to somebody else who goes, actually, I didn't know about that, and it is interesting, et cetera, et cetera. So it's sort of, again, it's all about building that knowledge and information for the community and continually
yeah.
bringing it back. So this guy's an expert in FOMA. Brilliant. Well, please teach us because, you know, we know that all of us have our own favourites and specialities. So we can combine that a little bit. So that's a very long way of saying yes. Yes, we are interested in doing more of it in the future. Again, I'll say anyone who wants to write something and talk about something that they love about film, then please get in touch. Obviously, the things we're most interested in is the films itself.
Yeah.
For cameras or for reviews, then, you know, there's 35mmC. We'll happily take camera reviews, and Emulsive and Cosmo Photo will run articles on a bit wider subject. But, yeah, anything at all, we're interested in discussing with people. And if it helps them promote their business as well, then happy days.
Well, that's cool, because what I'm planning on doing is using a bit more film. So I shot with a friend again recently, another wedding, and I shot a bit of film there as well. And that was on the FOMA pan. So
oh, wow. There we go.
Hopefully soon, once I've finished it, I'll see what it's like.
No, please do. I mean, the other thing we added, actually just this week, we sort of finalised it, is the ability for people to write reviews of films on the website. If you go onto any of the product pages,
right,
scroll
yeah.
down and write your own thing. And again, the idea there is you have an experience of FOMA pan when you've developed it. And you may obviously not want to write the whole article, and that's absolutely fine. I don't expect everyone to suddenly start writing pages for me, nothing like that. But if you know, even a short couple of sentences on your thoughts, what you liked, what you didn't like, and what situation is perfect for, you put that on there, and suddenly, again, a new person coming to that product, never seen it before, never shot it before, and you're helping them learn how to use it well, that's just brilliant, because they will then either decide to you know, get some and not, or try it or not, but it's a bit more informed, it's a bit more educated, and we're using the sort of that power of the internet to bring the knowledge from where you are to wherever it is across the USA, Canada, Europe, and spreading that around. So we think that's a really important thing, and I'm glad that we've found a way of making it happen.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, I'll definitely have a look at that for you then, definitely. This is probably a good little point for anyone listening. Paul, would you like to discuss a certain little discount code?
What? I've never heard about this. What are you talking about? No.
That's no. It's
well,
only 95% off, so please calm down, everyone.
This is a classic podcast. No, of course. So, yeah, no, I'd love to offer a 10% discount. I know it said 5 earlier, but it's a lovely chat. No, 10% discount for people who are listening and who want to, maybe are interested by what we've been talking about and would like to pick up some film, one of the 180, or a few of the 180. The 10% discount code, if you type in Flogger2018, obviously that's spelled PH, Flogger2018, all capitals, and you'll have an automatic 10% off your order, and that's regardless of whether it's shipping to the US, Canada, to Europe, UK, whatever, all products will be involved. Just a little thank you for having us on here, and also to help get the message out there and hopefully get some more film into people's hands.
No, that's great. Thanks a lot. What I want to move into, so I know I'm conscious of time, I like to always have a little bit of fun with my guests, and I'll put
well,
you
go,
through
right.
the random questions. So these have been absolutely hilarious because I've had such creative people. There's the video guys I first interviewed, not on the podcast, but when I used to do it online. And they videoed their interview because they're videographers. And they came back, read it off, and then they came up with this. They sort of described the question. It was about, would you like the head of a shark and the bottom of a human? And they literally talked about it, going to work. What would you do? What would you do in this circumstance? And it was so funny. It just stayed in my head.
Oh no, sorry, I'm under pressure to be funny and creative, am
No, I'll let you off with an easy one first.
On a Monday night, that is a
On
bit
a
mad.
Monday night, so you're fully awake, you're ready for the week.
Yeah.
Simple one. Insomnia or narcolepsy?
That is a great question. I'm going to go with insomnia because I think with narcolepsy, it's dangerous for either. You won't be able to drive the car. You won't be able to predict it. And insomnia would be horrific because no one likes feeling fatigued. But I guess at least it'd be a bit more predictable.
Are you a
Yeah, I'm going
father,
to go with
Paul?
that. I am not yet. My wife is actually due with our first in a few months, so I'm about to learn. I think you're about to tell me, aren't you? I'm experiencing insomnia firsthand.
Yes, you've picked the right answer. You pass. No, that's great. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. That's some breaking news for you.
Let's get that on the top. King Kong has just destroyed the Kodak photo factory.
Sorry, one sec. It cut out. What did you say? Sorry.
So King Kong has just destroyed the Kodak portrait factory. Now what?
Oh, good Lord. That's terrible news. Am I in
Obviously,
the
one
Kodak
you.
portrait factory at the point, or am I close?
That's up to you. Yeah, this is your scenario. I can see you're already thinking
Okay.
about this.
Yeah, well, I'll assume that I'm inside of them. Otherwise, I wouldn't necessarily know. I think what I'd have to do is I'd have to wait for him to wander off. I'm assuming he'd go after a tall building somewhere. So I'd hope he'd go find a tall building somewhere else. Meanwhile, you know what I'd do? Is I'd do what the guys at Ferrania have done. So I don't know whether you've. This is going to be a long tangent, so just brace yourself.
Yeah,
Hopefully, it'll come back.
I have heard of the Kickstarter that's taken 10 years.
Exactly, there we go. But when you hear why it's taken 10 years, it's basically because they took a factory that was entirely, a massive, massive factory that was entirely disused and gone to rust
Yeah.
from when Ferrania was a huge brand. And they are trying to restart production from scratch. Now, because they never have a chance of getting the scale that film used to be, because again, we're never going to return to the world of, 100 million rolls of film sold in the US each year of the early 90s, but.
Yeah.
They want to still retain it. They've taken over part of those buildings and they've basically reconstructed, along with some R&D, small scale machines that were already there, the process on a smaller scale on the same site. So, to go back to your question, yes, I think my plan would be to try and do similar. So, I would hope that King Kong had left enough stuff littered around for me to try and recreate the portrait machines and emulsions from scratch. And the good news would be, at least if he left some engineers alive, or at least maybe some of them were on holiday, they'd be able to help me. So I would use the engineers who were on their summer holidays to help me rebuild it, even if it was on a slightly smaller scale to get it off the ground.
I like your creativity, and I can tell you're a salesman.
I was like, the creativity isn't that high. It was more like I rebuild what was there. So I think you're being a bit generous with there. But yeah, so yeah, I did go a little bit into business thinking there.
Was more thinking, get as many films as I can and get out of the door as quick as I can.
Right, no. Well, fortunately, hopefully we'll have just placed a big order with Kodak anyway, so we'll have quite a lot at Analog One London HQ. So that's taken care of. I'm worried about the future.
Are you insured for this, just in case, though? We need to tell the listeners.
Well, I am insured, but now you're making me think I probably don't have King Kong insurance. Just all the boring ones like fire and flood and whatnot. So I'll double check about the large gorilla attacking film stop clause.
Can you imagine actually asking them, you're unsure of that?
Well, I'd be like, I was on the
That
phone yesterday and Andrew worried me. So,
Yeah.
how
He's got
much would
it
it
from a good
cost to
source.
insure? Yeah, exactly.
Your third one. After cooking a meal, you go back to your kitchen after 10 minutes and realize you left the gas on. Your partner's coming home. Do you confess to them or risk them finding out?
I would definitely. Okay. So you've left the gas on for 10 minutes. Well, before I worry
Or
about my partner coming, before I worry about my partner coming home, I'd probably turn off the gas and open all the doors and windows. I think I. You meant to turn off the lights? I don't know whether you should or not. I'd probably
No,
leave
because
the
you
lights
might
alone then,
ignite
so I wouldn't be sure. Exactly, that's what I'm thinking. Any change you don't want to do. So I'd just open all the windows and doors, and then I'd probably go and sort of stand outside just in case, wait for a bit. Yeah, and then I'd definitely confess when I got when my wife got home.
Oh, you're
Because
an
the thing
honest
is,
man.
well, it's partly that, and also the fact that she's a she'll be the first to admit that she's probably a little bit more prone to this kind of thing than me. And she always confesses straight away. So I think I'd feel particularly mean if then I screw up and fail to let her know. So yeah, I think that'll be it. I mean, just this afternoon I have been had to take apart a sink because she dropped an earring that she'd worn at our wedding down the sink into the U
Oh.
vent. So it was. I'm gonna put the gas leaving the gas on the same thing as that kind of sort of unfortunate accident and say, you know what, let's just clear the room and move on.
Fair enough. I like that. And your last one, how do you stop old age?
Well, that's an easy one. Photography. TikTok.
Yeah, that's very good.
They are that age forever. And actually, right now, I've got next to me something that my wife really loves, which is a black and white photo of her grandparents on their wedding day, and they're now 96 and 91, still alive, going strong. And they in that photo they are 19 and 23-ish, and always will be. So no, so photography is definitely the easy way of stopping someone else. And also, I have to say that it's a very mindful activity. And I think as well, at the same point, when you're in the zone, you don't necessarily feel time passing in the same way. So I'd like to think it's because time stops. So
Yeah,
there we go. Photography, both for the people you're taking photos of and for yourself.
good. No, I like that. So, thank you for taking part in that section. That was really good fun. I thought it'd be
Scientist in
different.
me says you'll need to make sure it's archival quality prints. Otherwise, you'll get
Yeah,
light fading and then it'll just be old age of the photo. So, yeah, there's probably technical people who will be able to give a lot more detail on how to can expand on that answer, put it that way.
it in JPEG or RAW because them formats will be
Exactly.
dead within 10 years and computer will be dead within 20 years. So, yeah,
Exactly.
print.
You need an
Print
archival quality print that is then stored in I don't know what's the best material,
a
silk or
museum.
something probably, and then exactly, and then buried underground in a humidity controlled environment. That's probably the best way.
You do realize you're going to get requests for this now.
That's fine, but even the greatest museum in the world isn't immune to King Kong, so we can't make any
No,
promises.
that's fair comment. You've already said there's evidence to suggest there's a growth in film again. How do we keep it? How do we keep it going? And what do you think the future of film is?
Yeah, so yeah, film volumes are back in growth, first time since the 90s. This will be the second consecutive year that the industry is seeing volume growth year on year, which is fantastic. And that's seen by all the big suppliers, and they don't necessarily see the small suppliers coming in. So we've got healthy growth from the big brands and these new brands coming in, which is amazing. The future of the industry, I think, is, or the future of film stuff, I think, is really interesting, because the age-old, dare I say it, really dull debate of film versus digital, thank God, seems to be finally over as people realise that it's not an either-or debate. And as I said, there's so many people now who shoot both. I mean, I do myself. I have countless film cameras, and that's always my primary. But I also have a Fuji X100 that I use in situations that film are difficult to, or if I'm just in the mood, or with, in certain situations. So everyone, I think the future, ideally, is that people are equally fluent in both, and equally, is, you know, at the same time. iPhones and smartphone photography is only going to get better, and the machine learning behind them is only going to get better. So film photography will never, never compete with the convenience and speed of that kind of technology. But what it can offer is something that's entirely different, very physical, very tangible. And as we all know, a very different experience to pressing a touch screen is pressing a shutter button and feeling the camera shake. So I think there'll always be a place for it. And what I am really enjoying seeing is the creativity that people are using with a combination. So the fact that Instagram is alive with some of the best film photography I've ever seen in my life. So you've got digital technology fusing with the film processes, and people are posting, you know, dry plates or prints they've made in dark rooms that they've made, like yourself. And that's getting a wider audience that people are seeing. So I really hope that that kind of thing continues, that people use the best of digital. All the other ones, sorry, again, I'm jumping around, is Hamish Gill, the guy behind 35mmC. I don't know whether you saw his Kickstarter last month. It got a ridiculously, blew through its target within, I think, 24 hours and carried on going. And it's basically a simple, cheap, and easy tool that people can use along with their phone to scan negatives. So you've got these brilliant minds, creative minds that are taking the best of digital and combining it with the best of film to leave you with a workflow that's somewhere in between, but combines the best of both and allows you to create really stunning art. And I think we're really only at the start of that. I mean, I saw as well Cameradactyl. I don't know if you saw that. A guy who's worked out how to 3D print all the parts to make a large format camera. And the incredible choice that he's made is to do them in really bright colours, and the bellows made out of what looks like children's pillowcases material. They are just unbelievable. So go and look at Cameradactyl. I think actually it's a Kickstarter still going, and there's some. It's probably the cheapest large format camera you'll ever be able to buy. One that
how do you spell that? Camera.
So it's camera. C-A-M-E-R-A, and then dactyl, like pterodactyl.
No, all right.
D-A-C-T-Y-L? Dactyl. Yeah. I don't know where you're looking at that now, but they are just stunning. And who would have thought that that was possible even 2 years ago? I mean, probably people who are 3D printers will scoff at me saying that, but I had no idea that was possible. And when that came on my newsfeed a couple of weeks ago, it was just jaw-dropping. And that's only possible because of the digital technology of 3D printing, that someone's choosing to use it on large format, which is the cameras of Ansel Adams and the heritage and the history of photography. These kind of fusions that are just so exciting. And that's what I think we'll continue to do. So as Analog Wonderland, I hope that by the end of the year, or that I know by the end of the year, we'll be over 200 films. So we're going to, we've got some exciting ones that have just landed in the HQ today, which I said to you, we've got some work to do to turn them around and get them on store. So that'll be the watch this space for a new brand coming to the store in the next week. So we'll see that continue, and then I'm looking forward to seeing where and how we branch out in the future, because this industry, I really don't see it going away anytime soon. And as people then start to add the ability to make new cameras, along with the ability that we have to reuse or restock or respool or create new films, you're going to see hopefully a whole new generation of people who come to this medium and just treat it totally differently to digital photography, phone photography, whatever it is, and create some really incredible art and images. And that's where I see it going, is it's settling down into a more just sustainable, ongoing, exciting tool that people can use to create a certain image and if they're in a certain mood. And I think that's a wonderful thing too.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of products out there, especially these cameras. And I heard about, is it Intrepid?
Yes, Intrepid, yeah. They do a lot of good cameras as well. I mean, the one that we're missing, the one that I've talked to a lot of people in the industry about, and everyone sort of has looked at it, tried, there's a lot of problems to do it, but the sooner someone can do this, it'd be amazing, is to create a new high quality 35mm camera. It's obviously keep that alive, but they'll be the first to admit that a lot of their cameras are not necessarily the highest quality or most reliable, and you know, they don't have a fully functional, you know, manual SLR that they can do anything like that. The first person who can create a new affordable 35mm SLR will be a genius.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think one of the big brands has to come on board.
Well, we were talking, actually, we did try and push Andy from Kodak on this when he was on 2016 with me a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I listened to that.
Yeah, and he's sort of ducked it while giving us hope that it was at least a discussion in Kodak, even if not a decision had been made. But I mean, he said the point, and he's quite right. There are millions of cameras out there that are fully functioning, that are wonderful machines, that are just waiting for someone to pick it up, give it a dusting, and run a roll of film through it. And it won't last forever. So a lot of them won't be here in 100 years. You know, let's make it extreme. 100, 200 years, they won't still be functioning. But today, it's an absolute dream moment in time where we have incredible high-quality cameras, incredibly affordable, a massive range of film that's now exploded in the last few years. You know, 2017 had more film launches, new film launches, new brands, new products, new films than any year since the late 80s. 2018 is probably going to beat that record again. So you've got all these films coming out. You've got all these people creating stuff with cameras and refixing them and that kind of stuff. This is the, you know, a real high point of film photography, if we see that. Long may that continue.
Yeah, I think they just need a couple of these. If, you know, the Kickstarters don't work, they need a couple of companies to finalise some of the other things. How we do cheap printing in the dark room, how we do digital scanning, that's easy. You know, I've heard someone's doing a Kickstarter about this. They're making, I think, an enlarger out of your digital camera or something. I don't know, there's a few, and I think all this stuff's important. People need convenience. There's no way around it. I tried digital scanning myself, and I used all sorts of stuff. I had books and books to use to distance my lens away from the negative. It wasn't perfect. My light source was an iPad, and my next attempt is going to be much better because I've understood sort of like the physics there. So I'm excited about trying that next. I've got very little experience developing. I've done it once, so I'm always cautious because I've got like wedding prints and stuff like that I can't afford to mix up.
No, you're right, and that it's pretty true. But you see as well, people are trying to innovate on that. The CineStill have got what they call a monobath, which is basically black and white film. You put it in, and you don't need to do any of the you know, you don't need a developer stop and fix. You just have it all as one. And this kind of thing, you're right, convenience is really key, because one of the things that I really like about Hamish's the stand is that at the same time, there's a guy who's working on an app that allows you to, rather than just taking a photo of it and then having to go into Photoshop to, you know, invert and negative and color correct, etc., he's working on an app that you'd open in your phone. And, you know, bear in mind, the latest iPhone and Samsung and everything sensors are as good as DSLRs from 2 or 3 years ago. So you don't need to buy a brand new DSLR to try and scan, you know, the photos that come out of an iPhone can be blown up to, what is it, 3 by 2 meters or something without any distortion. So your prints are going to be good. But the app, basically, you put in which film you used, and it will automatically invert it if it's a negative and color correct it, depending on the film stock. Yeah, I know, it's nuts. So he's on, I think he's on beta testing now. So I'm fingers crossed that I get Hamish's Kickstarter. And by the way, go to 35mmc if you want to see more details and back that. I think it's closed now, but yeah, I'm sure pre-orders will be soon, and it's fantastic. And this app at the same time, and you suddenly go scanning. I mean, I've done the same. I had the Epson scanner, and I did it religiously because it was cheaper than sending it to a lab. And it's just painful, and then you have to put it in software to tweak it. And we all spend enough of our lives with a computer. And I spend a lot of my time on a computer with things I don't really want to be doing. So I don't want to then sit with photography that's fun. But if you say to me, you know, hold this thing up to the window with Hamish's contraption, I'm going to look up the contraption, because if I don't actually say the name, it's going to kill me. I've got it.
Yeah.
You hold it up to the window, you open this app and tell it that it's a Kodak Portra 400. And then you just go along and you go click, 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 and that's 4 photos scanned, you know, actually scanned in your phone, uploaded to the cloud already probably, and then you can just WhatsApp them, save them, put them on Instagram in seconds, and you just go, as you say, the convenience of that is just unbelievable. So hang on a sec, let me just talk amongst yourselves while I just find on his... I'll find it before we
a lot of interference there.
Pixelator. PIXL-LATR. Pixelator. So yeah, so that combined with any light source and this app that this guy's creating all to your mobile phone, and it becomes very easy. But yeah, you're right. So the convenience is such a key thing that we get right. So we, again, it's a combination of both worlds, isn't it? You have the beauty of analog taking photos and developing and printing. People want to see that and enjoy it. And as I say, the reality is people probably do a mix. So there'll be some photos that you will want to, you know, take by your own hands, develop them by hand, print them by hand, and that's you. And there are some that you'll just still want to take on film, but then you just want to quickly scan on your phone and bam, bam, and then boom, they're done. So you're giving people options, really, and that's what it's all about, and that's what's so wonderful.
I think you're right. I think it's all about options. You said about Yodica. You know, we've both been in that Facebook forum, and people are slating you for selling expired film that's just rebadged. And that's, you know, that's not fair, because these people are doing something new, and I just think, like I said, if you don't like it, you don't have to buy it. But it's creativity, exactly. Isn't it?
Yeah, this is what I say. You know, I mean, also that's inaccurate, because it's not expired film; it's fresh film that they have digitally manipulated, which is something that I don't know how to do. It's not expired film, but even if it was, I wouldn't mind, because I'm not saying you have to buy it, you know.
No, you're not. Yeah, you just
exactly. And if there's one more person who does like that and starts doing film photography because of it, then we all benefit, because that's one more person who's buying film, who's using developing labs, who's talking to their friends about it, who's buying cameras or using cameras, who's showing people. So I just don't see... as I say, and for me personally, there are days when I want to shoot crazy films, there are days when I want to shoot black and white and know what I get. So it's the options and knowing what people want to do and then just enjoying the results. Because as I say, and I'll come back to the competition as well, the submissions we're getting, and if you go to our Instagram, the feed's just full of them, because we're trying to do 1 or 2 minimum a day to share, because they're coming in faster than that. We want to try and give people an opportunity to have their work shown to a wider audience, so we're really trying to get through it. But the photos are just stunning, absolutely stunning, and across a multitude of different black and white color, double exposures, pre-exposure. You know, people are really being creative with the concepts of summer holidays, and that's what we want. We're not saying we want one rather than the other. There's nothing intrinsically better about black and white just because it's, you know, an older format. the photo is the photo, and however you want to get there, it's up to you.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I know you pushed for time today, Paul. So
yeah,
I think.
Sorry about that.
Do you? No, no, that's fine. Not a problem. Do you want to tell our listeners where to find you? Maybe social media links as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the key thing is obviously our website, analogwonderland.co.uk. You can spell that the American way if you wish, and you'll still end up with us, so don't worry. or type into Google, and you'll find us there, and there you'll have over 180 different films to play with and explore. So please do that. If you want to hear more about the competition, then there's a page on there. And if you just want to see this, so if you want to submit your own Kodak summer holidays photos from this year, then there's the pages on our homepage. Go there and please get involved. If you want to see some of the other entries, then go to the Instagram. So if you search Analog Wonderland, it will come up. We're also on Twitter. We find that's helpful if people have a quick question about their order or just want to ask us something, then we're normally pretty quick to respond on Twitter. So yeah, whatever, you know, choose your poison and come and find us, come and have a chat and hopefully buy some film from us, obviously. But even if not, then just get involved, because as I say, we're here for the community. And our goal really is just to keep making film photography fun and accessible for everyone. So if you have a good idea as to how to do that, then we would love to hear from you.
No, that's cool. That's really, really good. So the final thing, Paul, I've always said to people from now on, I would like to hear your recommendation for the next person I do a podcast with. So have you had any thoughts on this?
I have had some thoughts. Let's have a think. So I've got a few options. So actually, I'm going to turn it around on you a little bit at the end of this. I'm going to ask you a question and say, exactly. So what are you? Who have you not had on so far? So what I've got is, I've got in my head, I've got one of the small independent film suppliers, who I think would be great. And then I've got one of the website people in mind as well. And then I've got somebody who does a little bit of both. So what are you after?
Oh, that's awkward, yeah. I like the sound of film one, actually.
Film one? Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Well, what I'll do is I haven't asked them, so this might be a surprise to them when I email them, but I'll put you in touch with Hannah and Michael, who are the creative geniuses that are behind the brand Revelog. Revelog are just an amazing line of film products that come out of Austria. They've got a really interesting backstory as well, so I'll drop them a line and see if they want to come along. And if they don't, then this is going to be a rather awkward end to the interview. But I'm sure they would love to come along and talk to you. And they're going to be brilliant. So yes, that's who I'd recommend. And hopefully we can make it happen. Hopefully they're not on summer holidays the next 3 months.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's all right. We can always book it in for the future. I'm always happy to put things in the calendar for future, so that's not a problem. So I suppose all I need to say is thank you very much for coming on, Paul. It's really appreciated.
No, my pleasure. It's absolutely wonderful to spend the time chatting through. And thank you so much as well for what you're doing. I mean, it's one thing to make a shot, but it's very other to connect people and turn up every week in podcasts to help out people. So, no, thank you so much for having us on. Please carry on doing what you're doing, and I'm sure we'll talk again in the future.
Yeah, smash it. Right, I'll let you get off and get on with this new secret project then.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, that's the end of another show. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed making it. It's always great to have a guest on with me. Please do share the post and podcast show as much as you can where relevant. If you have time, please do not forget to review this on iTunes. Just hit the review button and give it 5 stars, please. It's always helpful. It's motivation for me to keep the show going, and I want to keep this going for as long as possible. And basically, I'd like to get lots of different and interesting people on here, so that's what I'm trying to do. Thank you again, and see you next time. Bye.